Father, we ask you to guide us. We ask you to do your thing this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation on my heart be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, thank you for giving us forgiveness through Jesus, your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen. Amen. I've been saying that this idea, that at the beginning of this year, I had this theme recurring in my mind, this idea of God's presence, because I realize a lot of times we might talk about God's presence, but I truly believe that many of us quite don't get this idea of the presence of God. What is that? And so I started last week, and I want to continue today with this idea of God's presence, so that at the end we get a better grip or understanding of what it means to dwell in the presence of God. What is the meaning of the presence of God in our midst? Next week I have another character from the Bible that I'm going to bring up to us so that we can familiarize ourselves with the theme, the topic, the presence of God. You know, in your workplace where you go, you have an ID, something that identifies you, to other people. So people get to know who you are because maybe in your workplace you have your name tag, you have an ID, we got licenses, passport. I mean, those things we tell people who we are. Also, we tell people who we represent. That's what the IDs do. You tell people who you are and whom you represent. Now, last week I talked to you about this idea of the presence of God, and truly, when you think about the story of Moses, God's presence, Moses said in Exodus 33, that was really the ID that identified the Israelites from among the other people. Moses says, it is your presence that will set us apart from all the other nations on earth. If your presence does not go with us, do not tell us to go from here. So we're separated. The whole world will look at all the nations, and the nation of Israel will be distinct. It will be separated because something distinguishes the Israelites from all the other nations on earth. So that's what set God people apart from the rest of the rest of the world. You see, God promised his people that he will be with them. I will be your God and you will be my people. And remember, God's promises, all of them have condition. If you obey me, out of all the nations, you will be my treasure possession. You know, the whole earth is mine, but you will be to me my treasure possession. I be your God, you be my people. And when the Lord said, I will be with you, that's what the whole presence of God is. God's presence among his people. Now, last week, we also touched on the fact that in order to guarantee the presence of God, you and I need to learn how to play by God's rule. God's not going to come in our midst and the presence of God will not benefit us if we're not doing exactly what God is asking us to do. Like I said, this theme, this topic of the presence of God is being on my mind a lot. I want to get to know more about this idea of the presence of God because I also understand not knowing God, you and I can get in trouble very quickly. You need to know who it is you're worshiping. You need to know the one that you are worshiping. What is it that he requires of you? What is it that he's seeking from the worshipers? Like I say, hopefully through this series of sermons, we are able to get a better grip on this idea of God's presence in our midst. Joseph, I want to introduce you today to a young man named Joseph. He was 17 years old when his father, Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was one of them. And Jacob, as a father, he did a very poor job. He did a bad job that I would not recommend to any father. He loved Joseph more than the rest of the boys. So he, you know, some of you that have multiple kids, when you love one more than the other, you're going to get in trouble very quickly. So Jacob loved Joseph, and he made this tunic, you know, it's almost like to separate him. He was his favorite. You know, and so later on you realize, when you start reading, I mean, it's interesting, the whole story of Joseph, starting Genesis 37, ends in Genesis 15. All that chunk of passages is all about the story of Joseph. So that maybe you don't know much about him, but I wanted to talk to you about it because here we have evidence of the presence of God. So Joseph is favored, he's a teenager, you know, and you know, he was also a dreamer. He would dream these crazy dreams. Now, you and I need to understand, in that society, dreams, when people had a dream, they always looking for an interpretation, because maybe God is trying to tell you something. Joseph would dream that the sun, the moon, and 11 stars will bow down to him. And then he will come and tell his brothers about the dreams, and the brothers will hate him even more. Because in Joseph's dreams, he was always the hero. And his brothers were always the antagonist. So I dreamed that I was above all of you guys. And he would come and just, imagine a teenager coming and telling that. And now these other brothers that he had that were in their 30s or 20s, it's like, here comes Joseph. So they hated Joseph. And then the love of the father did not help, because Jacob favored Joseph above the other sons that he had. So he was hated. The Bible says he was hated by his brother to the point that they one day intended to kill him. They had gone to take care of the sheep of Jacob, and then Jacob told Joseph, go check out how your brothers are doing. So Joseph goes out there, and the brothers got to see him from the distance, and you know what they said? They say, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him right now. They were sick and tired of Joseph. So they grabbed him, and one of the brothers said, no, let's not shed blood. Let's not kill him. Let's just throw him into a pit. There was a cistern, a well, it's a hole in the ground. Many of us maybe were not familiar with wells, but you go to the places, that's how they get water. So there was a well, a hole in the ground. They threw Joseph there, but there wasn't any water, and so he didn't drown, but they threw him in there instead of killing him. And then later on there was a caravan of Ishmaelites. And so the brothers had this idea, said, hey, let's make some money off of Joseph. So they sold Joseph into slavery to a caravan of Ishmaelites that was going by. So they took him out of the pit, sold him into slavery, and then they came back home and told, they got the tunic that his dad had made for him, and they stained that with blood and showed it to Jacob. Said, we couldn't find Joseph. I think a wild beast devoured him. We found the tunic. Imagine how the father was on a field. He's thinking, Joseph is dead. So the Ishmaelites took Joseph to Egypt, and then they sold Joseph to a captain of the guard of Pharaoh named Potiphar. So they sold Joseph into the service of this man. And that's in Genesis 39 already, the passage that Angela read. And I want to just highlight certain points in that passage. So now we got Joseph in Egypt. So remember, from Canaan, he's now in Egypt because his brother hated him so much. They sold him into slavery. And that's where we find him. Now, but it's interesting, when you look at the life of Joseph, so many things that you and I can learn about him. So you got your Bibles again. Let me point out Genesis 39. It says, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him there. Now, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became successful, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but only the food that he ate. Joseph is serving in Egypt. He's serving Potiphar. Says that he was the captain of Pharaoh. He was a captain, an army man from the Egyptian army. But I love verse 2 because it says the Lord was with Joseph. The presence of God still with Joseph, even though he's serving a slave. And you see the evidence that we see in the text that the Lord was with him. It says the Lord, Joseph prospered in the house of his master. So everything that Joseph did succeeded. So the Lord gave him success. It was evident even to his master that the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah God, was with Joseph. Verse 3. everything Joseph did was successful in his house. Now it's interesting because I'm pretty sure Potiphar, because you know he doesn't believe in God. He believed in multiple gods. He's an Egyptian, so he probably thought, well, the gods has blessed Joseph. Look, I mean, you know, it was evidence. Like this man, everything he does, this young man, everything he does, is right. It prospers. So he said, the God's been blessing him. So it was evident that there was something about Joseph that set him apart from the beginning, and the whole house of Potiphar was being blessed because of Joseph. The Lord Yahweh was with Joseph, and he gave him success. You see, it says that Joseph found favor in his master's sight. He put him in charge of his household. Isn't that amazing? From the pit, from being hated by your brothers, now you see how you're getting into a status of riches per se. You're getting renowned now. He found favor on his master's side. He put him in charge, and then he even made him overseer. The word there is he made him manager of his household. He did not even concern for anything except the food that he ate. Isn't that amazing? Joseph, his master trusted him so much with everything in his house. The Lord was with him. Now, you and I need to understand, God being with you does not mean that you will be free from temptation. God's presence in your midst doesn't mean that you are exempt, that you will not be tempted. Because look at what happens later on in verses 6 through 10. So yes, the Lord was with Joseph and he gave him success. God being with you does not mean that temptation will not come. Doesn't mean that you're never going to be tempted to go the opposite direction. Look at what he says in verse 6 through following. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in this house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He's not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. So God being with you, God's presence with you, does not mean that you will not be tempted. Temptation will come, even with God being in our midst. The temptation will come. Look at Joseph. And rightly so, I mean, the lady spent more time with Joseph than Potiphar. Joseph was always in the house. The husband wasn't. And after a time, she was just like, it says Joseph was handsome in appearance. So she kind of wanted Joseph to lie with her, and she proposed to him. So we don't know the name of this woman. It was just the master's wife seduced Joseph, but he refused. Notice, Joseph did not give in to temptation. It's interesting because we look at verses 8 through 9. He was faithful to his master. He said, "Hey, my master trusts me with everything in this house. And he has not kept anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How can I do this wickedness?" He said he trusted his master. He would not violate his master's trust, and he would not be unfaithful to God. Look at what he says later on. "How can I do this wicked thing, this great wickedness, and sin against God?" The Lord was with Joseph. He was tempted to go against God. He was faithful, even through the temptation. He overcame the temptation. And again, this is one of the things I want you to understand about the presence of God. Even when you're tempted, doesn't mean that God is not with you. He still can be with you, and the temptation will come. God being with us does not exempt you and I from temptation. The temptation will come, but you and I will have to make a choice when that temptation comes, to either give in to it or to refuse it. Now look what he says later on. Verse 11. But one day when Joseph went into the house to do his duty, to do his work, none of the men of the house was there in the house. Verse 12. She caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in the house and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to lie with me, but I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." Verse 19, as soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him kindness, steadfast love, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. God being with you does not exempt you from temptation. The other thing that you and I learned from the story of Joseph, because, you know, I had to pause when I read this thing. The Lord was with Joseph, and look at all the things that are happening to him. God being with you does not mean that you are exempt from trials. God's presence can go with you, but that does not mean that everything is going to go all right. That does not mean that, you know, you might not get sick or you might lose your job. I mean, God's presence still be going with you, but that does not mean that you wouldn't have any difficulties. You know, sometimes we have this idea that the Lord's with me, that everything will go well. And my friends, that's what you hear from the prosperity gospel. The Lord's going to bless you. And so it's almost like when the Lord does not bless me, we think, oh, the Lord just abandoned me. Like, he doesn't care about me. That's the wrong theology. God's still going to go with you, but you still can have trials. Temptation came in the trials. Look at Joseph. I don't get it. The Lord's with you, and he ends up in prison for something he did not do. And the Bible still says that the Lord was with him. You see the problem that you and I have with the theology, because we think that if the Lord is with me, I should not go to prison. Right? I think if God is with me, everyone should like me. If the Lord is with me, I should not get in trouble with my brothers and sisters. That's how we interpret that God's presence in our midst, that everything will go well with us, because perhaps a lot of those bad theology out there, gospel prosperity, like the Lord's going to bless you. You know, it's like, if he's not blessing you, it's because you don't have enough faith. Don't believe that. God's going with you does not going to exempt you from trials, difficulties, heartaches, headaches, death, sicknesses, all those things can come to you, but God's still going with you. And you and I, it's like, okay, hold on. How is that possible? Because I think if God is with me, I should not get sick. If God is with me, you know, I should not be going through all these stormy times and these difficulties at home. You know, God is still with you, and he lets you go through that. I mean, it says, Joseph ended up in prison for an accusation that he did not do. But he says the Lord was with Joseph and showed him kindness, love. It's like, Lord, if you're going to love me, would you just get me out of prison, please? You know how many of us in that situation be praying, Lord, just, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. Just, you know, cast judgment on those people that put me here. Lord, you know that I'm here because something, an accusation, something I did not do, Lord, just get me out. Like, maybe that might be the prayer of many of us in that situation. Now, you and I, you know, imagine what's going on through Joseph's head. Yes, I mean, you know, you shouldn't be there. That's injustice right there. But the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph even in prison. And he showed him kindness. He gave him his favor. And that's one thing, too, that we might struggle with. Because, okay, if God is looking to me with favor, then everything should be going well in my life. Then the bills are getting paid, everything. I mean, if God is really, if I'm favored by the Lord, everything should be going well. I should not be going to prison for something I did not do. So the Lord was with him, gave him favor inside of the prison warden, the prison keeper. And then he also put Joseph in charge of the other prisoners. Potiphar put him in charge of everything in the household. Now Joseph is in prison. Now the warden puts him in charge of everybody else. And he says that he did not concern for anything else because he put Joseph in charge. It was evident still that Joseph, the favor of God was with him even when he was mistreated and ended up in prison. The prison warden trusted Joseph because God was with him even in prison. One thing about Joseph, you and I don't know if you caught that. You notice how faithful he still is? He was faithful not to lie down with his master's wife. He was faithful even in prison because somebody trusted him so much that put him in charge of everything else. He trusted that Joseph would not escape and put him in charge because he saw the evidence of God's presence in him. Amazing. So Joseph continued to be faithful to God even in prison. By the way, he you know how long he stayed there in prison? 2 years. He was 17 when he was sold, and he worked in the master's house maybe for about 13 years. Because when he got out of prison, you know how old he was? 30. He was 30 years old when he came out of prison to serve at Pharaoh. You know how he got out of prison? Because God still gave him the ability to interpret dreams, and there were two people with him, and he interpreted dreams. And one of them came out, the two of them came out. One was reinstated to Pharaoh's palace. The other one was killed. And Joseph told the ones, hey, when God shows favor to you, tell Pharaoh about me. So later on, Pharaoh has two dreams that he just like disturbed. He did not understand because he saw seven fat cows and seven skinny cows. And then the seven skinny cows ate the seven fat cows, but they still remained skinny. And Pharaoh's like, what's going on? You know, all these weird dreams. And then he dreamed seven heads of grain that were really healthy and seven heads of grains that were really bad. And the seven ones that were bad ate up the healthy ones, but they still did not change. So Pharaoh wakes up and he's like, what's going on? So he calls everyone in the kingdom, like, somebody needs to interpret this dream. And, you know, because what's going on? Nobody in the kingdom could interpret the dream. But then finally, the guy that was in prison with Joseph said, you know what? Oh, man, this is too bad. This is too bad on my part. There's a Hebrew that was there and he interpreted my dreams. So Pharaoh calls, Joseph is brought before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, I heard that you can interpret dreams. He said, it's not me, Lord, it's the Lord. The Lord has the interpretation. So he interpreted the dreams, which he said, the two dreams, just one. So there'll be 7 years of prosperity in the kingdom of Egypt, and there will be 7 years of scarcity, famine in the whole kingdom. And so Joseph's telling the kings, like, this is what you guys need to do. And at the end of the day, the king said, well, who will be smarter in the whole kingdom than you? So he put Joseph in charge. Isn't that amazing? Joseph comes out when he's 30 years old and he entered the service of Pharaoh, not just as some peasant or somebody who just, no, he's going to be second in command of the whole land of Egypt. No wonder the Lord was with Joseph. Pharaoh said, nobody else in Egypt will be greater than you except me. Gave him a ring, and now whatever Joseph says in the whole land of Egypt will happen. Pharaoh made Joseph administrator, governor of the whole country of Egypt because the Lord was with him. Like I said, God being with you does not mean that you and I will that will be exempt from trials. God's presence did not keep Joseph from prison, but God was there with him. God's presence will not keep you from difficulties, but He promises that He will go with us in the difficulties. You see, God allowed those things to happen to Joseph.